Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Alright, thank you DJ Q, my ace producer for the Jay's Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Yes, he is absolutely right. I am Jay Flemma and we are back for the second half of the show. Glad to have you all aboard. Thank you, of course, to Eric Bergstahl of Bayonne Golf Club and of the Empire Golf conglomerate of great courses that many of which you and all can go play. So that was a lot of fun having him on for a couple of segments. And now we are turning to one of the greats, a man who has designed on six different continents. He is living proof that that old adage of they say genius skips a generation so your kids should be brilliant is absolutely wrong, because like his father before him, he is one of the best we've ever seen. Please give a warm Jay's Plays welcome to your friend and mine, Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jay. Good to be with you as always. How are you?
You know, I'm in good form. I'm having my moments. It's a little bit cold up here, but yeah. Not so much that I can't sneak down a forest gate and try to get a few holes in there. You know, it's been a good winter so far in terms of we haven't gotten completely buffeted with snow. I know that you're enjoying the fine weather in Florida right now. You're down at Celebration Golf Club, aren't you?
Celebration Golf Club outside Orlando, which is produced by the great Disney company, and with my dad and I working out together toward the end of his life. And we did some fun things here, and we played it today. That is, I did with my friends.
Well, you're lucky, okay? I dodged a freezing rainstorm today.
Well, you better get down here. We'll have a game.
Well, I definitely am looking forward to having a game with you, okay? A bunch of our mutual friends are looking to have forward to having a game with us. So while we're on the topic of your favorite sport and mine, bring us up to date. What are you working on right now, Bobby?
Well, Jay, we're very blessed. It's kind of a potpourri of things. We're finishing up a course in Argentina, which hopefully will be open next year. We have a course which will open in Hungary. We just had a course that played a senior event, European Tour event in north of Rome called TR di Consoli. And we're doing a brilliant new golf course, I think brilliant. We'll have to let see what you think, in Waterville, Ireland, called Hogshead. And finally, you know, we're doing one other course in that other foreign country, North Dakota.
Ah, fantastic. All right, well, let's start here, homegrown in the United States. Tell us about the North Dakota project.
Well, the North Dakota course is just over the border from Minnesota. And I was there during the Ryder Cup and went out and looked at it. It's a big open plain, lots of wind. Obviously, it's very big space. And it's near a river which had been called the Oxbow course many years ago, which we designed then. And that's been bought up by the Corps of Engineers, so they made the deal to make it an entirely new golf course. So we got a second chance to milk some cows in North Dakota.
So now there's a number of excellent public golf courses there. Will the public be able to play this one as well?
Well, this is actually a private club, but the Plains people are very open. They welcome people. You've had a lot of economic activity in the last few years with the oil boom in North Dakota and the other end of the state. So I don't really know what their management will be, but my gut sense is they'll be friendly and welcoming.
I would also think that since it's, you know, been completely rebuilt and is new, and that North Dakota is a burgeoning area for golf, that it might be very easy to get on as well. Maybe you might want to coordinate a trip with other places like Hawk Tree or Lynx of North Dakota or Bully Pulpit, and make a trip out of it. Because I'm certain that they're going to want to get people out to take a look at it for rankings purposes, for writings purposes. You know, for those of you that are my listeners that, may not belong to a private club, this is one of those that you might want to give a call out there to the good folks at the club and say, listen, I'm going to be passing on through. And I'm telling you, North Dakota is one of the best-kept secrets in golf in the entire country. It's fabulous golf by terrific designers at a price that you just can't beat. You definitely are getting champagne at beer prices.
Well, this is called the Oxbow Country Club, right across the river from Minnesota. And I would think that you would enjoy yourself if you can find your way that way. And by the way, you can drive in from Minneapolis in about 2 hours, 3 hours max. And you can play some wonderful courses in Minnesota on the way or on the way back.
Oh, sure. Minnesota is one of the great states for golf. Okay, more golfers per capita than any other state in the union. Now, let's shift gears for a minute. I'm also intrigued by Ireland. Okay, tell us a little bit about the Hogshead Project.
Well, there's not much to tell yet. There was a course there that went bankrupt. So it's good golf land, and the owner bought the property, which is hard to do in Ireland. It's farming property right on the cliff overlooking Skellig's Bay in Waterville, Ireland. Now there's a famous golf course there, Waterville Links, which is a wonderful golf course. And this is on the other side of town, about 4 miles apart, bisected by the town itself. And we have created something I hope will be kind of fun to play and unique. You start out inland and go across a salmon river back and forward. And then you cross a little road, a country road, and suddenly you're on the cliffs, very much like, say, Pebble Beach or Princeville, Mackay, or Princeville, or the Prince Course. You're high above the sea. In fact, if you look out into Skellig's Bay, you can almost see a place called the Hogshead, which is what the course is named for. And then beyond that is the island where Star Wars concluded its last version of its film. So, you know, 1 billion people have seen that film, but maybe 300 or 400 have seen Hogshead. So welcome to Ireland. There's so much charm and beauty and drama. And you know how it is. You got lots of wind, sometimes rain, but it's an adventure every time you play in the southwest part of Ireland.
Now, as you know, and all of our listeners know as well, the southwest of Ireland is one of the most sought-after destinations in the entire world. How are you going to compete for tourist dollars with the likes of Lahinch and Ballybunion and Waterville?
I'm not competing for anything in my old age except the opportunity to work on iconic projects. And the owners are people who said, QTR, quality time remaining. We're building this by friends, for fun. And they're not trying to compete. They just want to have their friends play there. And so it will be a private club, and there will be access to it only by invitation and some Irish relationships that they have. So I have no influence on who gets to play it. But if you love golf and you really play serious golf, my feeling is there'll be a way to play it.
Tell us a little bit about your influences in designing some of the holes out there at Hogshead and what you think the strongest, you know, and most interesting holes are and why.
Well, Jay, you know, I'm an American Studies major. I'm an historian by nature, and I've studied the great architects of the past and some of their major features, which were replicated in the early architecture by C.V. McDonald at the National, for example, or St. Louis Country Club and others. And Yale, for that matter. So we have a Biarritz green, but it's at the end of a par 5, not a par 3. We have, with the tip of our hat, to C.B. McDonald and Biarritz itself. We have a crown green, which is a little bit of a tip of our hat to Harry S. Colt, with detached bunkering where a poor shot spills off to a bunker down the hill, and like Port Rush, for example. And we have a crossing of a stream, which is a tip of our hat to McKenzie on the third hole, like the 12th hole of Augusta, but they're all individual holes. There's no mimicking of them. They're just the principles of the shot making that come to mind of any artist. It'd be like a jazz musician picking up a phrase of another jazz musician who's, you know, famous, Louis Armstrong here, or, you're the jazz motif man, so you tell me. But
I'll take Charlie Parker or Dizzy Gillespie.
You're right. Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie with that horn that is wrapped around. And so, you know, a jazz musician will play off of some other musician and riff. And that's sort of what we've done in a very mild way here, with a tip of our hat to the great people who have had wonderful creations. But we're not mimicking them. We're just weaving them into our own composition for the fun of the game.
I would imagine that a Biarritz green would work quite well on a par 5 because it's really two or three smaller greens in one, And on a par five, guys are going to have a high lofted club in their hands to come on in. So you're going to want to have a small target. And thus a Baritz green is really two or three smaller greens in one. So it should work just fine, actually.
Well, I played for Yale, and I remember when we got to the ninth hole, there was our deep Baritz green. It's not as severe as the one at Yale. But you played across a lake to get to the ninth green at Yale. And here you played the tee shot, and the big lumberjack hitters of the youth can go for the green and two, depending on the wind of the day. And they can get there, but they better learn how to stop the ball, not just how far they carry it. Or it'll be through the front part of the green where the flag stick might be into the deep hollow or even farther back. And then they got their work cut out to get up and down two or three or even three putts.
By the way, there's an idea for where we should play our next round. We should go play Yale together.
Okay, I love that. I love that. Yale's such a great
now, I'm also... Oh, yes, every inch of it. I remember playing. I hit the ball completely sideways that day, but never had so much fun hitting the ball sideways. Now, I remember when we talked a couple of years ago, we spoke about your course in Rome. You said it was in the shadow of the Appian Way. Is that the one you described to us that just held that senior European tour event, or is it a different one?
No, that's the one. And it's called Tierra di Consoli, the land of the consuls. It's where the consuls went out and met. And some say they cast their votes there some of the tribes cast their votes there. I'm not sure. But anyway, the road that bisects the course is an ancient carriage road up to the Franks, the road to Frankfurt and so on. So, you know, you're literally stepping across history when you cross from one green to the next tee on the back nine. And they had a wonderful senior event there, a challenge tour event there in October. And from all accounts, it was a good contest and people enjoyed themselves.
Well, terrific. That sounds like a lot of fun. Finally, one more question before we go to break. Tell us a little bit about the Hungary course.
Well, Hungary course is kind of a little remote and down away from Budapest. But it's a little bit near a huge lake, it's a different name. Anyway, that Beethoven wrote some of his wonderful music nearby, inspired by his looking out over that lake. It's not on the lake, but it's an amazing place. So Eastern Europe is awakening to our game. The Olympics helped a lot to get people to think about golf as a sport, not as a business. And I'm very proud of that. We're also working a little bit on some remodeling in some of our own courses in Geneva, my dad's course there at Club de Genève, and some work in the Prince course in Princeville, Kauai. And it's just a wonderful time to be a golf artist.
Well, I'll tell you, okay, Princeville is renowned for being exquisitely beautiful. It is also renowned, at least it has a reputation, of being remarkably difficult. Where do you come down on that? Do you find Princeville, is it as scary as its reputation?
No, there are two courses there. The Princeville course held a World Cup in 1979, and it's a very lovely resort course with drama and beauty. The Prince course is the one I think you're referencing. And I have to be honest with you, I think it's one of our masterpieces, along with Chambers Bay. Yes, it's long and strong. And no, it's not remarkably difficult for people who are travel long distances like skiers do to the beautiful powder snow in Utah or in the Alps. It attracts people who seek a great experience. It would be difficult, let's say, for a beginner, but they have the other course to play, so they got a choice.
Well, I do look forward to the day I get out there. It's not going to be long now. I've been invited out to Hawaii, and Princeville's definitely on the list. But I will say this, okay, I am an enormous fan. I am 1,000% behind Chambers Bay. You know, you seem like a fine wine to be getting better with age, and I look very much forward to the day that Chambers Bay hosts another U.S. Open. Is there any talk, any scuttlebutt, you know, any word on whether or not they're going to be returning soon to Chambers Bay?
Well, not soon, because USGA has announced their Open Championships pretty far out, a decade out. But they are having the four-ball tournament at Chambers Bay, the USGA is, and that's a hint that if that goes well, they will reconsider Chambers Bay for another U.S. Open champion. That's kind of the way it is if you're a USGA tournament venue. they want you to play some of their other championships. As a, you know, like they play the amateur at Olympic Club in San Francisco before the Open came, and now Women's Open will be at Olympic Club. So they spread their wonderful championships around to the clubs to support them and issue the invitations for them to join them. I can't speak for the future. I know that we had a fabulous championship in 2015. It speaks for itself. The contest was great. Six people could have won on the last tee, and there was tension and some moaning, but it was a great, great moment.
Everybody, you're listening to Robert Trent Jones Jr. as our guest on the Jay's Play Show. I am Jay Flemma, and this is The Golf News Radio Network. We will be right back in 5 seconds.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.